Greetings, my brothers and sisters. You by now have just finished our study on page number 1, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians at a glance. And now we're going to move on to page number 2. And this lecture is only going to look at the background of Acts 16 through 18. Now, just to help you understand, this recording now I'm working on, I have already recorded all of the lessons of 1 Thessalonians. I've not done 2 Thessalonians yet. And you're probably wondering, why am I doing Acts 16 through 18 now after doing, if you want to say, the first three lectures in 1 Thessalonians? And that is because after I have gone through 1 Thessalonians, I realized I just really need to go back and clarify some things to you in Acts, the background, the biblical background of this letter written to, in second letter written to the Thessalonians. Now, when you come to the first lecture of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, I will be making a reference that we have not studied this portion, and I have encouraged you to go back in your group time and study this. You're still welcome to do that. But after recording 1 Thessalonians, I realized I really should have done this first of all. So anyway, thank you for this, listening to this. This will help set up, this will really help set up what's happening, and it'll give us an understanding of the reason for this letter and how it came about. So let's pray and ask the Lord to give us wisdom. Father in heaven, thank you for the book of Acts. Thank you that for the recorded history of the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and their ministry to these people in Thessalonica. Help us to understand the background and the setting of what happened. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have a study Bible, you can go to it, and you can see that this now is Paul's second missionary journey. It begins in Palestine. It begins in the land of Israel, and he works his way north. He goes to Antioch. He is in Antioch, and he works his way back all the way through Derbe, Iconium, and these areas of Galatia. He's going across country. He comes to down to near the Aegean Sea over in Asia Minor in Mysia. Anyway, he has a vision to go to Macedonia, to Philippi, and he takes transportation across the Aegean Sea, and he first comes to Philippi in Macedonia, and this is where we find Paul. And Paul does make reference to this in his letter to the Thessalonians. So in Acts 16, verse 11, and it says, "From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading district of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. And they began preaching the gospel. There was no synagogue there, so they went down by the river where some Jewish ladies were meeting, Jewish people were meeting. Well, anyway, Paul and Silas are going to end up in prison. Verse 16 says, "Once we're going to the place of prayer, once when we're going to this place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit that was in her, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' And at that moment, the spirit left her. She was controlled by an evil spirit. Well, the owners realized that their way of making money was gone, so they grabbed Paul and Silas and they dragged them to the marketplace where the authorities were. And anyway, they convinced the magistrates to throw Paul and Silas in jail. So Paul and Silas end up in jail, verse 25, and they are praying and they're singing hymns to God. They're not complaining, they're rejoicing. The other prisoners are listening to them. Well, you probably know the story. The jailer and his household end up getting saved. Well, anyway, what happens is, verse 35, when it was daylight, the magistrate sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can go. Go in peace. But Paul brings something up that they should have paid attention to. They assumed they were Jews, but they assumed also they were not Roman citizens. So Paul brings this up and says, well, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we're Roman citizens, and threw us into prison, and now they want to get rid of us quietly or secretly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out. Well, verse 38, the officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed, they were shocked. And they came to appease them or try to make them happy, and they escorted them from prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house again. She was a believer in the Lord, where they met with the brothers and sisters, encouraging them. Then they left. And why do I bring this up? Because Paul does mention this to the Thessalonians, that he was persecuted and treated shamefully yet in Philippi. So at the top of page number 2, under Acts 16, we see verses 23 through 40 that Paul and Silas are persecuted and shamed while in Philippi. We come to chapter 17 now, verses 1 through 3, and this tells us now and shows us Paul's first visit to Thessalonica, and whom he would write the letter to in the weeks or months ahead. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. And that was Paul's custom, to go to the synagogue and preach first the gospel to the Jewish people. Remember, Paul says in Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. So as Paul's custom, he went to, and as was the custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on 3 Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures. So when they gathered together on the Sabbath, which was Friday evening to Saturday evening, Paul went those days to the Sabbath, and what did he do in verse 3? Explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. So in verses 1 through 3 of 17, in your handout, Paul went next to Thessalonica and preached the gospel of Christ among the Jews and Gentiles. Now notice verse 4. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous. So they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace. They formed a mob and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. So there was a gospel division, and in the gospel caused a division in the synagogues. A number of the Jews and prominent Jews believed, but others were jealous. And because of their, if you want to say, their hatred for Jesus Christ, their hatred for Paul. And remember, these Jews were aware of who Jesus was. They had been to Jerusalem for the feasts. They had heard about the stir that Jesus was causing. They heard miracles. They heard the controversies. They may have even been there when Jesus was crucified, because the Jewish men were required to be in Jerusalem for the Passover. And that is where Jesus, that's when he was crucified. So they were aware of the news that was going on, and they may have been aware of Paul's conversion because he was a prominent Pharisee that was converted to Christ. Well, so what did they do? The religious Jews stirred up Gentiles to bring about persecution. I find it fascinating because the Jews usually can't stand or they hate the Gentiles, but they will use the Gentiles for their own selfish gain or means or purposes. So they went to the marketplace, they looked for bad characters, and they formed a mob, and so they started a riot in the city. And they got all of these people riled up, and they went to Jason's house. Now, Jason most likely was housing Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were probably living in Jason's house. And so that's why they went to Jason's house, was to find them. Verse 6 and 7. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house. They're all defying Caesar's decree, saying that there's another king, one called Jesus." What we see here among these Jewish leaders and stirrers, they're very much hypocrites. They didn't not like Caesar. They didn't like Caesar being king. They wanted to be their own king. But what did they claim? They claim that Paul and his people, they're causing trouble all over the world. They're troublemakers, and now they've come here to cause trouble. And they're defying, notice, they're defying Caesar or Rome's decrees, the Roman Empire. And they say there's another king, one called Jesus. Oh, man, are they playing the Gentiles? They are really sneaky, because these self-righteous Jews would never call Caesar king themselves. But they don't care, because their hatred runs so deep for the gospel of Christ. Their hatred runs so deep for Paul. And that's why Paul does make mention of this in the letter to the Thessalonians, how Paul was mistreated by his own people in Jerusalem, that these believers in Thessalonica would be mistreated by their own people that were stirred up by the Jewish people. Verse 8 and 9, when they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. The post bond is to pay their way, pay a fine so they can get out. So this is what's happening. Verses 6 and 7, Jason becomes a target of persecution since Paul and Silas could not be found. Verses 8 and 9, the growing crowds and city authorities took the side of the Jewish antagonists. And then, verse 10, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And now the Berean Jews were more noble in character than those in Thessalonica. Why? For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what, if Paul said was true. But what happens? Verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. So the believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. Now notice, Paul has to leave. They really are struggling with Paul, because Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was one of them and converted to Christ. And so there's a special hatred and antagonism they have towards Paul. But Silas and Timothy were able to stay at Berea. And most likely it will seem that Silas and Timothy will be going back to Thessalonica and ministering while Paul moves ahead. So verse 15, those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and left them with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Well, we're not going to go to the rest of chapter 17. You can read that on your own. But now we're going to jump to chapter 18, verse 1. After this, after Paul was in Athens, Paul left Athens and where did he go? To Corinth. And there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and he was a tent maker as they were, and he stayed and worked with them. And Paul right now has to work. Paul, that's where we get the word Paul was a tent maker. Paul was bivocational. Not only was Paul a preacher and a church planter, Paul was also a laborer. He made tents, and he found fellow Jews, Aquila and Priscilla, who had the same trade, and they were believers, and he lived with them, and he worked with them, and did his business with them, providing, if you want to say providing for his own needs. Verse 4, every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Now notice, this is where it's key to understand now. Verse 5, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Now, Paul, what's happening here in verse 5, Silas and Timothy came with news from possibly Philippi, but we know for sure from Thessalonica. Because Thessalonica was in Macedonia, and this is where Timothy came with the news. Now, we don't know exactly the details. Timothy may have went back to Macedonia because it wasn't, Thessalonica, because it wasn't that far from Berea. Or Timothy may have had elders come from Thessalonica to share with Timothy and Silas what is happening in Thessalonica. Well, anyway, this news of what is happening in Thessalonica causes Paul, while in Corinth, and he's there a year and a half, to write the first letter of 1 Thessalonians for these messengers, especially Timothy, to bring it back. To bring back this news and to go back and shepherd. And so we know from Acts, and we know from Acts 9 through 11, Paul, during his 18 months in Corinth, wrote 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So Paul writes 1 Thessalonians. He answers questions. He encourages them in their faith, like as you'll see in the next lectures and that you'll be studying yourself. And then Timothy goes there. And during this time that Paul is still in Corinth, Timothy then comes back. Timothy comes back and he has more news, and there's still confusion about certain issues in the church in Thessalonica. So while Paul is in Corinth, he sits down again and he writes or he pens another letter, which we call the second letter to the Thessalonians, which will be delivered again back to them while Paul is in Corinth. So this is the background. It helps us understand what is going on. And we've already looked at some of the things happening, the backgrounds of Thessalonica, some of the issues taking place. We've looked at that. Now, in our next lectures, we will be diving into 1 Thessalonians, and then lastly, you'll be diving into 2 Thessalonians. May you have a blessed time, and may you be encouraged by everything you're learning as you desire to follow Christ. May the Lord bless you and encourage you in Jesus' name.